Daytime Confidential podcast brought to you by DaytimeConfidential.com. On today's show, Torsten K. joins The Bold and the Beautiful as Ridge Forrester. JJ goes before a judge on Days of Our Lives. Genoa City mourns Delia's death on The Young and the Restless. And Nicholas finds Robin on General Hospital. All this and much more on today's show, so stay tuned. Welcome.
What's up?
Melody Akles, welcome.
Hey.
Last week, we recorded the podcast. I believe it was on, a Tuesday night or a Monday night?
I think it was a Tuesday night.
We'd finished Daytime Confidential, and we're in the middle of recording Pop Confidential. And all of a sudden, it came across Twitter.
Michael Logan dropped that tea, honey. Hey, woo!
Yes, he did. He scored a big one there. Thorsten K. is the new Ridge Forrester at The Bold and the Beautiful.
Thorsten, but yeah. Yes, and that was so funny. Brad Bell, you sneaky bastard. Mm-hmm. I love him. We were just talking about that, and bam! They just added him on there. Wasn't that? That was just so freaky. I wonder if we puked. Okay.
Well, as a longtime The Bold and the Beautiful viewer, are you looking forward to seeing his chemistry with Catherine Kelly Lang as Brooke, or do you want him to be more going with Katie?
I'm just, let's just talk about the casting. That was, we've been saying, I said it last week, that they're starting to need Ridge. They need another male in this triangle to amp it up. It's been good, but it just felt as though it felt like Brad was gearing you up to add another player in the mix. And, as soon as you blink, bam, Torsten. And I think, we all were saying Robert Kelker Kelly, even Peter Recko. But Torsten's going to add a good twist. Torsten's a good actor. Torsten has chemistry with a potted plant, child. He's good. So this is really going to shake things up. I've had some people who said the most silliest things. They're like, what about his accent? His accent. That's why I'm like, darling, it's called acting. Okay? It's called acting. Y'all think Joe Muscolo sound like that, but Joe Muscolo is Italian, but he was not born over there, y'all. So it's going to be good. It's going to be good. I wonder, Ridge and Brooke are the A team, but you're just so confused. You're like, I don't know who we should be with. It's just so, I don't know. Katie and he, I don't know. This is just a riches. This is so good. Kudos to Brad Bell for this casting.
Mel, what are your thoughts?
I think that it was an absolute pimp move of Brad Bell to go and snatch Torsten K. from All My Children. I think he's going to be amazing in this role. Like what Jillian said, we were all kind of hoping RKK would do it, but it didn't work out, whatever. But I'm perfectly fine with Torsten K. coming on as Ridge. And I will go out and say it right now, I want the story to be a straight-up quad. I want Katie and Ridge, Bill, Brooke, make that a quad. It will be hot. You got four great actors in the storyline. They're all beautiful. It's going to be amazing. I can't wait for it to come on. So kudos to Bold and the Beautiful. They did it up in this one.
And this is good because you don't know, this is a good thing to me because they're going to have to do chem testing. They're going to do it. So, well, Captain Kelly is going to slay it, honey. But you also have my girl. She'll always be my Victoria, damn it. I know she's been gone for a minute, but she's still going to be my Victoria, so damn it. Yes, she going to kill it, too, and it's going to be so, you're going to be like, oh, my God, should he be with her, or should he be with the sister? The chem test in here is going to be really crucial. It's going to be epic. Really going to be.
And most importantly, I don't think I've ever seen Torsten K. wear a scarf.
He said, nah, player.
I do have a question though, because his casting does raise an interesting question about All My Children, where of course people are accustomed to him playing Zack Slater. TV Guide's magazine's Michael Logan asked about his status with Prospect Park, to which he responded, "I don't have a contract there anymore. It's sad, you know, and I hope it all works out for them. But when you have a solid opportunity on a show that's so highly regarded, you just got to take it. This may come as a surprise, but I wasn't sitting around with 10 other offers on the table." What are your thoughts, Mel, on the All My Children angle of things?
I think that it's also iffy about whether the show is actually coming back. Yeah, I said it because, you know, they say it is, but hey, we don't truly know, do we? I've heard things like they postponed production on All My Children because, what's her name? Alicia Minshew and somebody else is pregnant or something like that. And I was like, they did what? What kind of sense does that make?
Well,
like,
you read that app because she ain't back.
Maybe not Alicia Minshew. One of those girls. What's her name? No, Eden Regal, who is absolutely pregnant, right?
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah. Eden Regal. Like Alicia.
Sorry. Eden Regal showed up like 3 times in the whole run of, what, 40 episodes?
Hold up. You know this is Prospect Park now. I mean,
this is true.
I saw it.
They'll make a mountain out of a molehill.
I thought it was like some Eden Regal and somebody else is pregnant. So they're like, oh, we can't bring the show back until, you know, they have their babies. And I was like, wait, is that true? And I mean, it's kind of ridiculous. So,
well, and Jordan Lane Price, if I'm not mistaken, was trying out for what, America's Got Talent over
that
the summer.
We don't know how long ago that was. We don't know how long that.
Well, no, I know, but
so.
I'm just saying, it's not like Torsten is the only one pursuing other options.
Oh, look. I ain't got no. This ain't no shade, but shade. It is shade, no shade. But that girl is a dime a dozen. I'm sorry, you can easily hire a bunch of other gals, but.
I'm not denying that in any way, shape, or form. I just think that it's interesting that we're seeing people pursue other projects as well. They should be able to.
I just think that the actors on All My Children know what the deal is. I can sit here and wait for this show to come back, or maybe not come back, or I can go get on The Bold and the Beautiful, which is hot like fire. What would you do?
Or maybe Torsten didn't have like a contract like everybody else. You know what I mean? Maybe he was only supposed to be back for a number of episodes just to like to launch it. I've never heard that Prospect Park, as we all know, are mad secretive about things, so who knows. You gotta go where the offering is. One minute they were gonna film in Connecticut, next minute they were going on the road to avoid,
next thing they'll be in Decatur Road.
It's old Decatur Road.
But anyways, like, you know, they're just a little wishy-washy right here, man. Like, you know, and I just hope they don't try to blame Torsten, because you know, they'll try to be all, well, we're going to launch the show again, but Torsten's gone. So, you know, some people might try to shade it, but they did that with Lucci. So, look.
Well, and with his luck, they'll come up with a reason to blame it on another soap stealing a pivotal
Brad, you know, that's soap royalty there. I don't think Prospect want to mess with that one, right, Chuh?
Well, let's talk a little bit more about The Bold and the Beautiful. This last week, Rick proposed to Caroline with a giant-ass ring, just as Maya was experiencing second thoughts about wanting to get back together with Rick. Jillian.
Let's discuss this. I'm glad we're getting the weakest link storylines out of here, because everything is on fire on that show, despite Miss Mel trying to shade this triangle, you hush heifer, of help Liam and Dada the boy Wyatt, but hush heifer. This is the weak storyline right here. You know, this is 2013. Young people do want to get married, but I don't know a bunch of young people who get married after a bunch of heavy petting and all the other jive. This storyline would really,
well,
let me.
To be fair, the character of Rick has done more than petting, unlike, say, Thomas.
Well, anyways, I'm getting back to this here. Like, we ain't talking about Thomas now. Like, I know he is happy. He's probably like, I got a storyline because I got a daddy now. But, I mean, you know, everybody's getting married. We don't see any, like, hunching. We don't see any sex. This used to be the show that put the X in sex, man. Like, I would like to see, you know, Maya, she climb and, what's his name? Carter? It's Carter, right?
Yeah, Saint Victor.
No, I want his character's name. I want Maya to be climbing Carter like a tree. And for her, you know, after Rick put it on her, she's like, damn, I don't know who to go with. You know, this boy, this just chocolate drop blew my back out. And then she'd be like, you know, white chocolate over here got money, but he also made me sweat my perm out, y'all. Something, not this heavy petting stuff. I mean, it's just kind of lame. They just need to amp this storyline up. It's too wholesome. And it's like, come on now. Like, really, girl? It's just too wholesome. You know, Rick, say what you will about Rick. Wholesome is not his name. That is his mother's son right there. He should be, like, beating those chicks off of him with a stick.
Well, he's probably beating off as it is, so I don't think you really have a problem.
That was Mel, good fresh.
Mel, would you have second thoughts about Carter if you were in Maya's position?
No, because that man is fine. Yes, Jesus. I love that man.
Check his credit score, though.
I'd love that man. It's godlike. Okay, but that is absolutely not the point. I agree a lot with Jillian that this story is just kind of, it's boring. It's the afterthought story on the show when everything else is really solid and taken off, and this is a story that's kind of just in the background having a cheeseburger or something like that. Like, it doesn't make any sense for Maya to be like, oh, I'm gonna marry you, Carter, because you want to marry me, blah blah blah, but we kind of had sex, but not really. It's just dumb. I don't know. There needs to be some kind of true conflict or real scandal to make this story pop. Because otherwise...
See, I was watching this last week, and first of all, I'm so sick and tired of watching Maya and her terrible early B&B hair.
Oh, God!
Twirl in the Forrester freaking... whatchamacallit, it isn't even funny.
Oh, yeah, the whatchamacallit. I don't know.
Boutique, there we go. The second thing that I thought while the jewelry display was going on was, wouldn't this have been a perfect opportunity to, like, introduce, like, a mysterious jewel thief type of character to come in, maybe steal it off of Hope while she's wearing it, and at least do something unexpected, because I feel like with the Bold and the Beautiful and Hope, Wyatt and Liam and Caroline, Rick and Maya, that everything is just expected. Brad has this routine that he follows. It's a formula that he follows and he executes it. And there's not necessarily anything wrong with it, but just once in a while, I would like to see something come out of, like, left field and surprise me. And I don't really get that with those two storylines on The Bold and the Beautiful. I mean, you will get...
A jewel heist?
It's supposedly this $100 million diamond. I was watching and I was thinking, you know, just about now, Cole Deschanel should be showing up from Sunset Beach, I mean, to try and heist the jewel.
I think that's why Liam and his mama are successful. Not Liam. What that boy name is? Wyatt and his mama are successful because they never had nobody heist them up. I could see the storyline.
Their jewelry is good enough looking to be heisted.
Child of Stephanie Broach, that gal got on. I could see this story, you know, I will alter your storyline because I'm like, all those people at the press event, come on now, Luke's. I'm going to put you in the corner and just patch your head.
Well, but they had that thing with no security other than a guy standing.
They have hidden glow security. Yeah. Like, look, I would agree with you on this. If a situation where... Okay, we all know that Maya was a street urchin. You know, the blacks always are. But what if her boyfriend that Ricky Paul played, who, you know, that unsavory character, what if he was a thief? What if he and Maya went to prison together or had some backstory where she honestly was driving the car thinking on her man going to the 7-Eleven for a Slurpee when he was actually robbing someone and she ended up going to jail? What if it was a situation like that and he comes back all reformed and everything? He thinks he's all reformed. He wants her back, but he's actually using her to get intel on the Forrester fashion show because of that stankin' brooch Stephanie's brooch that gal Hope is wearing, and he decides to case the place, you know, Rick and them all, like, well, not Rick, because you know Rick can be like, get out of here, you know, everybody's like, give him a chance and everything. And he decides to case the joint, and the day of the thing, he steals it and makes it look like Maya. You know what I'm saying? Mm. I get that, but a regular jewelry heist? Oh, Luke.
We've seen it 1,000 times.
Go sit down, Luke. Come on. Nice.
Other news this last week on The Bold and the Beautiful was, or other casting news this last week on The Bold and the Beautiful was the revelation that B&B is looking to cast RJ.
They gonna need to.
Ridge Forrester Jr.
They are.
But he's only being sore assed to age 10. I just sort of wonder why you would only go to 10, because there isn't really any other kids that age on the show, to the best of my recollection. But, I mean, it could be something. Do you guys have an opinion either way on the sore assing?
I mean, if they're going to sore ass, what is that girl's name? Alexandra. You're gonna need to sore ass RJ a little bit more. You know, she's gonna need someone to interact with. Although I get where they're going with her, but they're gonna need to sore ass. I don't know. I guess they want to keep RJ that age. I guess they're gonna try to do that whole.
I would have expected them to sore ass him to like the general hospital, like the little kids that are what 13, 14.
There's nobody him to interact there. I guess they're gonna go this route where, since they're bringing Ridge back, I guess that kid is gonna be the catalyst to like bust I'm just assuming that based on the, you know, how soaps go, maybe that kid is going to be the one to bust them up or something. So who knows?
Probably pay the little badass kid more than later.
Yeah.
What did you guys think of Liam going to Hope and saying, take the ring back?
Lather, rinse, and repeat. I've seen it before.
Shut up.
Where is Steffi? Give me my Steffi back, and then we can talk shop.
You're going to need her soon. I mean, you're going to need a fourth person, just like how the older sect, you're going to need a fourth person to amp this thing up also. Look, if baby girl is trying to do her own thing, spread her wings, and fly, who is she, Mariah Carey with Butterfly? Mm-hmm. Anyways, I guess if she wants to do that, fine. No one's going to begrudge her. I'm only joking with that. However, Brad can't keep your role on ice forever, darling. I mean, we grew to like her in the role, but Brad cannot keep her role on ice because we like her, because she finally came into her own. You're going to have to go out there and do something. I mean, maybe Allie is going to be that role where she comes in there and pitch hits for her cousin, but you're going to need actually Steffi in the role to make it pop. You're going to need Steffi to come in there.
Well, and let's face it, there's a lot of blondes already on the show. We could use a few more brunettes. Let's talk a bit about The Young and the Restless this last week. Two takeaways. Billy Miller and Elizabeth Hendrickson were amazing.
Wait, hold up. So wait a minute. Wait a minute. Now, I just went on the Google because I was not sure, but Hope was born in 2002. RJ wasn't born that much after Hope, and you going to sore ass that kid to 10?
Well, there were some people in the comments that were saying this isn't even actually technically a sore ass.
It really isn't.
Because if he was born in the early 2000s and it's 2013 now and he's 10, then it's not really.
You know, if you go by how the age range between he and Hope, I mean, I don't know. I mean, stranger things have happened. I mean, look, Billy is older than Colleen. I mean,
Let's talk about Y&R. Two things stuck out to me this last week. The first was that Elizabeth Hendrickson, Billy Miller continued to deliver fantastic performances. The second was, I was wondering if Victoria was the half sister of Rudolph the Red Nosed Reindeer, because it was like the tip of her nose was the entire world.
I mean, her stepdaughter got ran over, so I mean, I know she
and her nose was a glow.
Her hair finally made sense, like Jamie said.
Look, I'm not going to shade her. I'm going to be real here. I said it on Twitter. I said, well, 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 it took a little Delia to get her ass ran over for this girl to make it hot. Because I was
I still was upset about that, the fact that she got so much airtime and Chloe, by comparison, got hardly any.
What about Jill? That's her grandbaby, too.
Jill doesn't care about Billy. That's well documented.
She playing with salt and pepper. I mean, Winnie and Nelson. I mean, Charlie and whatever. Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. Whatever. Look, I'm gonna go here. I'm, you know, be hard on them. I'm gonna give praises where praises are due. Amelia Hiley, she finally showed me she was that chick Steffi from Love. And I was like, well, damn, girl, it took this little girl to get run over. I was impressed with her. Billy did his thing, although some scenes he was a little wah-wah. He was a little wah-wah. You know, that's my boy, but I was a little, all right, now, Billy, come on now. Your firstborn got mowed over now. Bring it home. But then he did. Lizzie Hendrickson.
My God.
Oh, God, even though she wasn't in scenes as much as she should have been, I mean, this is the same thing as on GH. I mean, when little Jake got mowed down by Luke, Lizzie Hendrickson was a star. I felt it for her, although, you know, everybody's all, Billy caused that child to die because he left in the car. I'm like, grow up, okay? My mom left us in the car when she was running to the store. I'm like, grow up now. Come on now. Shut up. But, I mean, she was fantastic. I felt her pain. I was like, oh, Chloe, I feel your pain. You miss you. She was amazing. Greg Rickhardt. Oh, my God. He was subtle, and he just blew it. He just blew it.
It's been a long time since we've seen Greg the right way on this show. So to see him be so powerful and amazing in scenes reminded me of, like, oh, wow.
Yes,
I remember Kevin. Like, it's about time.
It also reminded me. I'm like, hello. He was Spinelli before Spinelli was Spinelli.
Without jibba-jabba talk.
Like, let's be real.
With an STD.
Anyways, he was Spinelli without the jibba-jabba talk and the nicknames. He was hacking shit up when he was like, when he told Diego, I mean, whatever, Alex. He was like,
Chavez.
Yeah, he was like, let's do this. Let's hack this.
Diego.
I thought that. I was like, let's do this, boy. He was amazing. Mm-hmm.
See, and I, watching those scenes with Kevin and Chavez, I just want them to be a couple because they have so much unintended chemistry. It's like they are the hottest couple on The Young and the Restless that isn't actually a couple.
I don't know about all that, but
I think they have a good chemistry.
The way that Chavez looks at Kevin sometimes, you just have to say that he wants to jump his bones.
You have to, you know, Missy Claire, she was good, although she needed to rein it in just a smidge, just a tiny bit. She was good. Like, I felt it for her. You know, she's all grieving because of Cyclops is blind. You know, he got to use the Braille book. And, you know, her best friend, well, only friend, is all, you know, her daughter died while she's, you know, she's, all this grief is just coming towards her. And I got to give Muni his props. He was good because you could see the wheels in Adam's mind just turning like, oh, shit. No, I didn't run that girl down. And it's just going in his mind, and he's like, he feels, we all know it's an accident, but it's Adam. Adam is still out for self. Yes, Adam is like, I don't want to leave your side. Peanut, God, I hate that nickname. I don't want to leave your side, even though, you know, I ran that baby down. I don't want to leave. We get what Adam is saying, and we get what his intentions are, but you still fled the scene, son. So I felt, you know, they all were good. They turned the storyline around. So I'm kudos. I mean, it's still sucky, but the acting was superb, and it's all leading up to something. So,
Mel, I have a question for you. Now that Delia's dead, does this mean that Cyclops inherits as her education trust fund if he gets her eyes?
Clearly he's going to get his eyes because I saw this story on General Hospital. So, you know, it's the same thing. But does it matter? Does,
does it matter if he gets the education fund? I don't know. It'll probably go back to Tesla.
That doesn't make any sense.
It's the only body parts of her that will still be in existence.
That doesn't make no sense.
Catherine's will said it went to Delia.
Well, it's going to go to her mama, or maybe Devon will be like, it's nah. So that didn't make any sense. Oh, we got to talk about the chemistry with Nikki and Stitch. It is so Yes!
Really like Stitch. That's the best.
I like him more than I have ever liked Dylan. Like, every time he comes on, I'm like, oh, Stitch, hold on, let me play.
Exactly. And every time I see him, I think to myself, this is how a character should have been introduced that was supposed to end up as Nikki's son. Stitch. It's been very gradual, and I mean, I so wish that he was going to be Nikki's son.
It's not be her little concubine or something when Victor trip out. Just blow her back out, man.
It was like a true soap character. You know, somebody blows into town. Nobody knows a lot about him. Maybe he has a friend in town or something like that. We see him every once in a while. We get to know him more and more. And you just, every time you see him, you're kind of like, I want to know more about you. And I think that's more of the hook factor to Stitch for me. And he has this great chemistry with Melody Thomas.
Yes! I don't think it's intentional chemistry, but darling, their chemistry is
They just
hot.
Off each other well. So
go ahead.
And Dylan what, Luke?
Well, I was just going to say, and Dylan for me on The Young and the Restless, he's basically the Ryan Lavery of The Young and the Restless.
Oh, no, but
the longer he's on, the more he eats it alive in terms of the storylines. It's like I'm watching Avery have dreams about Nick and Dylan, and then I'm watching.
Third was that this week.
I get that because she is confused. She's confused with two men, and it's, you know, they setting up a good drama, a good little storyline. She's gonna be between two brothers. Although I would have liked it to be Adam and Nick. That would have been a good storyline. I mean, you get what you pay for, I guess. So we got Nick, Avery, and Dylan. But I didn't mind the dream. She is torn between two men, which will be two brothers, which will be good storyline because you know Nikki ain't going to be down with that. Nikki going to be like, now look at here, bitch. You know Nikki going to rip that ass a new one.
What did you guys think of Sharon this last week?
I did.
I think she deserves better. If you want my opinion, I just think Sharon deserves better than this. That character's been on this show entirely too long to be stuck in this story of course, Nick, I know what to do. I'm gonna call my doctor and do the right thing. And then she's still seeing Cassie, who's telling her to do the wrong thing. Like, we can't come up with a better story for Sharon? Please?
Well, I don't know, child. I don't know. Maybe that's why the ratings maybe their ratings dip it low.
Well, yeah, General Hospital beat them in some key demos recently, which we will discuss once we get to General Hospital. But before we get to that and the fantastic week that General Hospital had, let's talk a little bit about Days of Our Lives. Oh. Not that it didn't have a good week either. I mean, because it did. JJ went before a judge, was told he'd go to jail for 5 years unless he was willing to go home to Jen's house and prove that. And the judge basically suspended his verdict until he could see if JJ was going to turn himself around. The moment JJ got home, bad boy, here we come.
Oh, Days. See, we talk about the funky Sony soap. We're talking about the good one now. Oh, Days. You know, it is really good soap. You know you are in a good soapdom when you are watching. You're flicking between the two of them. You're like, oh, shit, this is going down on Days. Oh, shit, this is going down on B&B. Because depending on which market you're in, they overlap each other. Days has been so freaking good. JJ just ripping Jennifer to shreds. You know, that all that preaching and sanctimoniousness that Jen has shown that boy. And he is like, oh, you've been lying to me, but you've been telling me I need to do X, Y, and Z, bitch. And I love it. I love it. We all know JJ is in the wrong, of course. You are a child, boy. You are a child. If that was my mother, she would have yoked me up 20 times over. And she would have told that judge, she ain't got to come home with me if she want to act the fool. Take her ass. Take her. Since she want to break shit up.
Well, and it wasn't just Jen that he was doing that with. He was doing that with Justin. He was doing that with Justin too.
He's doing it with
still in the cell.
He's doing that with everyone because he is that typical. He is that angry boy because his whole life has been shattered. Everyone in his whole realm knew what his father did and didn't say anything, number one. And number two, they like to wag their finger at him. He's like, look, I did pot and I lied. I stole some money from my mom and trashed your boyfriend's apartment. My dad raped my aunt and y'all didn't say anything. So he's very confused. This hero worship, it's the hero worship he gave Jack, has just come crumbling down. Like, that is just it is reminiscent of Lucky with Luke when he found out on GH, when he found out that his hero, yep, his idol, raped his mother. And he found out from his, you know, the boy that saved his sister, who was effectually his enemy for a moment. That just ruined his world. And it's the same thing with JJ. He put Jack on this pedestal, and for it to be just smashed like that, this is tremendous. This is great soap opera. It is really rejuvenated that Danifer storyline, truth be told.
And meanwhile, Teresa is doing everything she can to manipulate Daniel and cause problems for Jennifer and what's left of their relationship, considering it's suspended at the moment. What did you think of her little conniving this last week?
Wait, hang on a sec. I mean, Jen Lilly is good for this role. I'm loving it. I'm loving it. I'm loving that she, Daniel, I'm like, Daniel, she's just making Daniel look like a dumbass. You would think with all the conniving heifers that Daniel ran through, he would be a little bit up on, you know, faster on the uptake. He's been through it with Chloe. He's been through it with Nicole. He knows how Kate gets down. Victor is his godfather. You would think Daniel would be a little bit more smarter with some girl who still has mother's milk on her breath trying to run game. But he's just stupid. I love it. Teresa is just running game on it, and it's fantastic. She's learned from the best. I really wish they would play that beat that she learned it from Eve, though. So,
And meanwhile, he now is in possession of the flash drive that Kristen is so, I was going to say excited, but that's not the right word, so interested in disposing of, and Marlena is so interested in getting her hands on.
You know they're setting up with some drama at that damned hospital. For it to be at the hospital, you know some drama going to go down. This is gonna be great. Oh, I'm so sad that they let Eileen just get out of their fingers like that. Come on now.
They overworked the poor woman.
Oh,
they worked her harder than Alicia Minshew was worked on All My Children when it was still on ABC.
Oh man, I'm so upset that they let her go. She going back to one off of these parceled episodes. Come on, I hope somehow Ken is able to convince her to come on back. She is just, oh god, she just was killing it. I mean, but yeah, they did work her and everything. She's in damn near every storyline, but you know they're setting up for some drama at that hospital. This is going to be great.
Well, and the other thing that's interesting about what's going on with Kristen is the fact that Eric now is suspicious that Nicole is really the woman who drugged him.
Oh, he's just dumb as hell.
I know. He's almost as dumb as Daniel is. But it is sort of an interesting twist.
Oh, come on. It's like, come on. Like, Nicole wouldn't tell you she screwed you. Come on. I mean, it was a good twist that Kristen checked in under that name. But come on, Eric. God, you like, we see, now we know.
Well,
now we know who the smart twin is between Sammy and Eric. We know.
Well, and it's not like the men in that extended family are all that smart anyways.
We already,
I mean, Sammy and his dad, Roman can, I mean, only solves crimes occasionally. Their extended family with John looks like he's sniffing farts and sometimes has computer chips in his brain. Eric is Brady is just a lug. I mean, they're not the smartest of men in that whole Brady Black family.
I miss Robo John. You hush. It's real.
Well, I'm not saying it was bad, but I you can't.
You said it was bad. I never said that. I miss him though, because Robo John had sense. Oh, we know. I guess Sammy is a fluke. Sammy is like, damn, how'd I get related to these dumbasses? Because, oh, Eric, you just dumb as hell. Think Nicole would tell you, honey. That's why this whole situation when Kristen is busted. It's time for Father Eric to ditch that cloth, though. To ditch that thing. It's time for him to, I don't know, work at Basic Black or something.
Well, considering that's what he wears.
Do-do-tsh.
Exactly. Gosh. Let's talk a little bit about General Hospital. Mel alluded to it earlier, but General Hospital is on a bit of a roll. They ranked number one among women.
Mel, but okay.
Oh, I thought Mel did.
No, I guess that New York twang does sound like Texas, but okay.
Let's talk about General Hospital a bit. As Jillian alluded to earlier, the young and the Restless, General Hospital had some great demos. They were the number one program among women 18 to 49 for the first time in 2.5 years. Amongst women 18 to 34, they had their most watched week in 3 years. Great. I mean, all in part because this is coinciding with Robin's return, which has been fantastic. But it's always nice to see General Hospital doing well, especially when it's as creatively on fire as it has been.
I think this is great. But you know the critics. I'm just going to speak on the negative and then the positive. The negative is we already know CBS and Sony is going to be like, oh, that was just 1 week. That was just a fluke. So, whatever, that was just one time thing. And the new writing regime hasn't come into play yet. They're going to, they're going to try to blame it all on Josh. That's Josh old stuff. The new writing regime hasn't kicked in yet, so whatever.
Well, that could be true, but at the same time, it's not like they don't have a big tune-in moment with killing off
a kid. I never said that. I'm just saying what they are going to say. They're going to try to write. They're not going to try to, you know, own up and be like, oh, shit. But you know they're going to try to be like, oh, it's a one-time thing. The old regime is out. The new one hasn't started yet. So wait till the new one comes. We're going to kick their asses again, and they ain't going to do it. The good thing is GH shows you when you have good storytelling, when you utilize your vets, when you integrate your vets and your newbies, you can pull off ratings booms, and they have. Mm-hmm. Instead of it being all these faceless cows and people who don't mean a damn thing on the sex, on your canvas, they're showing that once you give all these good people, you use everyone in your arsenal, you can give good storytelling. I mean, I know they're going to chalk it up to the Delia dying thing. I mean, but that was your big ace in the hole to give a good dramatic storyline. So what the hell, man? But GH is just showing you good storytelling. If you tell good storytelling, they will come. They will tune in. If YNR would use all of their vets and the newbies at the same time, these new faces, and integrate them more, you will have good storyline. I mean, I'm tired of seeing Chancellor Park over at GH. Ugh. They're using their sets. Like, I mean, at GH, we already know GH ain't got no budget. GH's budget is tight. So, even though they're the Lone Ranger. So, well, come on now.
And yet we can have this giant cast of an underground laboratory, which
Island. Yes.
It was excited because this last week, I think it was Friday's episode, I was watching it and Nick and Britch were jetting their way to Greece, and I thought, I tweeted, I said, wouldn't it be great if Nick was the one who found Robin, because I always enjoyed Nick and Robin's relationship back in the day. And it ended that way. He opened the door, was ready to pull the gun on Jerry, and instead discovered that Robin was there, and she was...
I'm so scared for him, though, because she's like, all that talking you doing, boy, pull her out of there, run! Because right? You know Jerry gonna come up behind him and pistol whip him. And
Jerry Nicholas is right like, there.
You like... know, and he's gonna, Nicholas is gonna wake up and be like, oh, I thought Robin was alive. Damn, I'm like, oh, stop the talking and yank her out of there. Robin, run out of there. All this talking, less talking and more moving. Shit. Agreed. No, we got to talk about Albrecht and I'm not calling Deathzod, Azod.
That was awesome.
He said, yeah, I'll have sex with you if you put on this Anna mask.
Damn! It's one thing for your man to actually do a little role playing.
And Viagra won't even work for him.
It's one thing for you to do a little role playing. It's one thing for him to fantasize and call someone name out and you don't know it. Or, you know, you're too caught up in the moment that you're like, okay, I'll let that slide. But for him to tell you to put on a mask of the woman that he's been in love with since a childhood? Oh my god, I felt so... No, I didn't. I didn't feel bad for her. I hollered. Because she had them girls, because I call GH Titty City, boy. Because, oh my god, the tits is on. She had her girls out in full force. Sam had her.
And she can rock some leopard, can't she?
She had her girls out. Sam had her girls out. And Alexis is like, I ain't about to be outdone. Yes, nah. She's like, she get it from her mama. I'm like, damn.
Every day the Indian Wild, Alexis have her girls out. So.
She forever have her girls out. They don't ever catch no dust. I'm surprised she don't catch pneumonia. I'm like, oh my god. Albrecht, he and Faison looked like he wanted to change a dirty diaper than to smash it. He was just like,
And when she, before you got to that, or she got to that point, when she goes, let me help you clear your blockage, it was like, oh my god, what did you think?
That whole scene was just, it's weird, and like Obrick said later, it was degrading and dirty and everything a big villain scene should be, you know what I mean? Just the coldest of the cold, you know, we can do it, but you gotta put this Anna mask on. And I was in my room going, he don't want you, Obrecht, he don't want you.
It made me scream. Because I ain't gonna lie, I said it to myself. I said, when I was watching it, when she, you know, when Anna and her had that face off, I was like, you know, it'd be kind of funny is if they run, if she runs away, you know, Faison and Albrecht run away, and Faison is like, thank you. You know, I want to show you some gratitude. You know, put this mask on. You play Anna, I'll play whoever you want me to play. I thought, you know, I thought it would have been funny if, you know, he said that. I'm like, he ain't going to do that. You know, and then it kept,
you know what,
it
I've
kept
been,
sticking
oh, go ahead.
In my mind. And then when that fool grabbed that mask.
See, what she should have done in return is say, you put on the Duke one and I'll put on the Anna.
No, it's just wrong altogether. Ugh.
Well, speaking of wrong altogether, Patrick proposed to Sabrina, who, when she was chewing out her ex, all I wanted him to do was toss her out the window like Marty tossed Natalie.
Oh. And I don't even like Patrick and Sabrina, and y'all know I'm not a big fan of Patrick or Robert. But the only reason that Patrick proposed to Sabrina is because he watched the video of Robin first and was in his feelings and was missing his boo-boo. So he was like, I guess I proposed to this girl. And I was like, you, Ron and Frank are starting to make me like Patrick and Robin, and you stop it. Yeah.
Shut up. You better get on board with it.
No.
Ask somebody. Yes. You need to go back and watch some of them clips, girl. They was fire. Kuza, I don't know why. Well, I already know why. Kuza's my boy, but let's just call a spade here. Kimberly's very outspoken. She is beyond outspoken. She says it like T.I. is. You know I don't mind that because it is refreshing to see an actor do that, number one. And number two, it gets us hits. So she's always been outspoken regardless of which regime is there. So I always felt that Guzzo was punishing her in some sort of form by, you know, the comments that he would have people say. He would write it in the dot, you know, that they would have played out. So whatever. So, Robin was just a damn nag. But with Patrick, she was, you know, they were hot. They were hot. I'm sorry, Sabrina girl, but Sabrina the teenage witch, click your heels and take your ass on with Carlos. With Carlos the Jack.
Carlos Puss in Boots.
Yeah.
Who needs to go back in the forest with Shrek and Donkey, because I'm not here for any of that.
Oh my God. Robin coming back to get her man. And I cannot wait until she finds out what Britt did so she can whoop her ass. It's going to be great. Because, you know, Anna's going to whoop Ulbricht's ass, and FYI, you know I can't stand Britt, but it was awesomeness when she mushed her mama to the ground. Oh, yeah.
She barely touched her mom, though. That was the thing. It was like, after everything that Oberk has survived, Britt barely touching her is the thing that sends her on the floor.
She was my luggage and a desk, so I'm not even going to quibble over that. But it was awesome when she was like, look what your father did to me. It was the grave. She's like, shut up. I said, your man, the love of your life, wanted you to dress up as the love of his life. And your daughter mushed you to the ground. Mm. That was awesome. Mm. And for Robert next week to be like, oh, I can't wait. Keep with that gun in your face.
Man, Anna and Robert busted in there like gangbusters. It was awesome. Just the 2-second preview I saw, and I'm like, I can't wait. Next week, General Hospital.
I've been dying for this to happen. And I hope, I'm like, Tristan, behave yourself. If y'all don't know what I mean, whatever. I just hope that I've been wanting them, now that they have Robert out of his coma, I want them to also play the Duke Anna Robert triangle. Yes.
That would be interesting.
Yes. A lot of people try it on Twitter and I send them back with shipping and handling. But I'm like, you need to play this triangle out. They're like, well, Tristan said in the magazine. I'm like, you could say whatever in the magazine. I could say that, I don't know, that I like to do cartwheels in a magazine, but it needs to be played out. You need to play it out. Just because he says that Holly is the love of his life, that don't make it. That's his opinion. But he don't own that character. That character is the property of ABC Daytime. And Ron runs things with that character. So if Ron says, no, bitch, Anna's the love of your life, we gonna, you know, that's how it's going to be. We need to see that played out. We've always heard it, but we need to see it played out. I remember back in the 90s, they played that out, late 80s, early 90s, and it was something to play out. This time around, you need to do it again. You need to do it again. I mean, I would say technically Robert won Anna by default because Duke died. We all thought Duke
that
died.
Could be argued, yeah.
Right. So Robert run, he won by default. So we need to see that shit really play out. All the players are there. I mean, if Emma Thames wants to, if y'all want to add her in there, sure.
Just don't bring back Ethan.
No. No, don't bring it back.
Let's talk about one last thing before we go to final thoughts. What do you guys think of Morgan suing for annulment and Ava's fantasy about Silas?
Look, Ava is loving that young thing. She want that, but she want that old thing back. She is loving her hair getting sweated out by that young buck, but she still want the veteran. She still likes her meat seasoned. You know what I'm saying? Still want her meat seasoned. Still want her old meat seasoned. She still wants some seasoning.
She likes it cured a little bit.
Yes.
Oh my God.
They got to play out that triangle to, you know, she is like, I know she's sitting somewhere like, I'll be, you know, pulling a Victor Newman. Well, I'll be damned. I'm competing with my niece for the love of my life. Ain't this something? This is
final thoughts, Mel.
For me, on The Young and the Restless, the big scene stealer was Elizabeth Hendrickson. She was amazing. Like, she made you pause. She commanded everything about that storyline for me. I'm sorry. Billy Miller, you're still amazing, and you still, for me personally, I think you did the work of your career, but Elizabeth Hendrickson, girl, I bow down to you.
Yeah, even though she was only given a little bit
of
airtime, she still came and stepped her A-game up. And a lot of actors need to do that, I've noticed. You know, they feel as though you're giving me scraps, so I'm going to give you scraps. No, if you want to have more, you need to step your shit up.
Jillian, final thought?
My final thought is, I cannot wait for Torsten Kane to come on to TV. That's going to be good. Oh, all that, you know, we all know that Rich is all, you know, Rich is the playboy. He could be a little sensitive here and there. But Torsten is going to make Rich be a little, you know, rugged. He going to make Rich a little rough. So, I can't wait. And kudos to Brad Bell with that casting, because in the interview that he did with Logan, Torsten said, you know, I signed up but didn't know what role I was getting. I'm like, that's you know, you can call that
blind faith.
That is blind faith, and that's also career suicide, because he could have made you JoJo the Tire Man, and you would have been like, what the hell? Maybe I should be out in Connecticut, but that...
Lorenzo Lamas, anybody?
That was good. That was good. You know, kudos. Kudos to Brad. I guess Brad was like, I don't want that leak, so I'm not even telling the actor. And for Torsten to just go on a blind leap of faith, I guess you really wanted to be out of Connecticut.
My final thought is, as much as I'm enjoying General Hospital, I really need Elizabeth to have a storyline where she's more than Patrick's maid and babysitter. On that note, we would encourage you to comment on this episode at daytimeconfidential.com. Add us as a friend on Facebook, facebook.com/DC Confidential. Follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/DC Confidential. We thank you for listening. Until next time, so long.
He made me put on the anime.